It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash and wrap this rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2. The Odyssey app, twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan, or youtube.com/1080AM The Fan. Party on, party people on the YouTube apps. All right. Sweet 16, we talked a little bit about the scoring palooza that will be BYU-Alabama. Earlier, Alabama, by the way, favored 4.5, minus 4.5 points. I bet they'll either win by 4 or 5. Don't think they can get that half point. But for the betting
stuffs,
yeah, we will get it. There's a lot of drama around the second game in action today, which is 4:30 on TBS. The top seed Florida Gators are taking on the fourth seeded Maryland Terrapins, which. That Maryland team is a lot of fun to watch, and they're a great story this year. They are going up against a buzzsaw, but they are at the center of a lot of attention because of their head coach, Kevin Willard, who is rumored to be a candidate for the Villanova head coaching job. Villanova fired Kyle Neptune at the end of this season after a couple of just kind of – they were debacles. For Villanova. It's a program that historically dominant.
Yes.
The cupboard was not bare when Jay Wright left it
for No.
And they underachieved over the last couple of years. Now,
and it got political and nasty too when you're talking about a recruit like Cam Whitmore. I mean, you know, in his draft process, it's not a secret. It's out there now. Like, his coach just destroyed him in the interview process. I mean, that's part of Cam Whitmore had two reasons that he fell. One, medical. Two, intel. Intel on him was horrendous. And I have, in 14 years of covering that stuff, I had never heard a coach talk about a player that way.
It's not good.
No.
Not good.
And you can't do that in college basketball. Even if a guy's a problem, you can't go to the level that he did.
But Villanova wants to get back to where they were. They have a new athletic director. They are, who, by the way, just he came over from the University of Oregon. Mm-hmm. He was an associate AD over there. But Kevin Willard talked at the beginning of the NCAA tournament and kind of vocalized, you know, hey, we need more NIL money. Like, we need to ramp up our NIL. We need to be better at that if we want to continue to compete at a really high level. Well, here they are winning, you know, two games in the tournament in the Sweet 16 as a four seed, and everything trending in the right direction. And then the reports start coming out of, hey, Kevin Willard is, you know, eyeing the Villanova job. There's mutual interest between the two sides. And then you have this at his press conference where he was asked about the NIL again.
You've been very open the last week about, you know, trying to get greater NIL share, revenue share. I'm sure you saw Mike Loxley yesterday said he would prefer to keep some of these issues in-house. Why have you felt like kind of bringing this discussion in the open has been the best way to advocate for your program?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I think our biggest thing is we got to stop Clayton. He's really good. He shoots the basketball going left 48%. He shoots it right going at like 38%. So really the last couple of days, trying to come up with a game plan to stop, you know, Clayton, because I just think he's one of the best guards in the country that we've seen. And then really, you know, obviously trying to fix our rebounding woes have been at the top of my mind too. So yeah, it's a big problem.
Yeah, and by the way, he's not wrong. Walter Clayton Jr. is really good. He's going to be a problem. But that led every Maryland fan to just continue to go down the rabbit hole even further that, no, he's already agreed to the Villanova job. He's out. You know, and it's interesting that none of the major newsbreakers have said it, really anything about it other than, you know, he's in a really tough spot right now. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple of things that could have happened. One, the conspiracies may be true, and he has already gotten the Villanova job and accepted the Villanova job, and he's going to be moving on. Two, the reporter I said, like Mike Loxley said, he'd rather keep it in-house. I have a feeling that his bosses at Maryland were like, hey, we're not going to talk about this. So the football coach, when he was asked about it, was like, yeah, we want to keep this in-house. And Kevin Willard was like, yeah, I'm not going there again. So instead of just saying that, just went full on deflection. Yep. And brought up something completely different.
And while you were out, one of the stories we talked about was Will Wade at McNeese State openly saying, like, yeah, I'm gone.
Yeah.
But I want my guys to rally around me. I'm going to rally around them. I'm focusing on them while we're here. We've got a real chance to be disruptive here.
Yep.
And you know what? You know what those players are saying at the same time? Yeah, we get it, coach. You're going to a better program. And guess what we want to do? We want to be with you.
But there's also added layers that help all of the conspiracies go a little bit deeper. Because Villanova is in the Big East. Mm-hmm. The Big East is a non-football conference.
We talked about this last year. The fact that they don't have football, they can put all of their eggs in that basketball basket. And look at what the Big East has done over the last 18 months. One, the biggest transfer in the transfer portal already?
St. John's.
St. John's. Gone. Yeah. Joseph Sanon, who left Arizona State, who's a good player. And guess what? He's offensively minded, which is what they need. But they're going to be a powerhouse over the next 3-4 years. The Big East is going to be a wrecking crew.
Now, Villanova does have football, but they play at the FCS level.
Yes.
So it's not part of your revenue share. And so there is, if the coach was complaining about NIL, then you have all of the major reporters are jumping on this. Ross Dellinger just had a big thing about, look, you have ADs in the SEC and ACC that are going, look, there's a clear advantage that the Big East has. That $20.5 million doesn't have to be split between football and basketball. It can just go to basketball.
But
right?
That's their prerogative.
They have said, this is our investment. Mm-hmm. This is the way we go. So that doesn't help the Kevin Willard's going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the one school that he's rumored to go to is in the Big East, has deep pockets, and is committed deeply to basketball.
Yes.
And the way he's handling it, it's not the best thing, which leads everything to kind of spiral out of control. There's like a bunch of unverified reports that are out there of, you know, didn't go to team dinner, or he's already, you know, going to be gone by the end of today. That can get to a team.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike the Will Wade thing, which he was like, look, I get it. Because Maryland, unlike McNeese State, they're going, no, we are in the Big Ten. We are in a very good basketball conference
right now. And
they're
a very good team.
And we are in the Sweet 16 right now with the team that we have. They don't want to lose him. That just, all of this kind of bubbling to the surface, this leads me to Florida by 11D.
Which is kind of funny when you think about it, when you think about the space Florida was in, 10 weeks ago?
With their head coach, yeah. Todd Golden, under a...
investigation?
Yeah, for misconduct. Mm-hmm. Like, there was allegations of, like, stalking and...
co-eds.
Yeah. Hooking up with the co-eds. Yeah. Which they did an investigation that wrapped up on January 27th that said the reports that came out of the student newspaper that alleged all these things were unfounded. And then they just go on a tear after that.
I mean,
and Florida's been untouchable.
I picked Florida to win the title before I knew Cooper Flagg was going to come back. And you were gone when it came back. Are you surprised that Coop is playing, and not only playing, but played opening game, and it looks like he never suffered an injury at all?
Yeah, I thought he was, like, super, like, tough, like, when I first saw it, because he got up and he kind of walked off. I was like, ooh, like, he's not going to just writhe in pain. Now, he did get wheelchaired off the actual floor, but he walked off the court and then wheelchaired off the bench. I was like, that looks bad. Mm-hmm. Like, that looks really bad. Maybe just scary more than anything else. Like, we don't know what was happening, but when... you know, the ACC championship game, he was there and he was on the bench. And when a big play happened, he popped up. Like, he stood up, and I was like, well, maybe. I was surprised to see him game one.
Yeah. And not, it wasn't like reserved. Like,
no.
He doesn't look like he's playing at 80% or 90%. He looks entirely fine.
No, that was, it is surprising, but I like that about him.
Yeah. The one thing that popped in my mind when we were up at Alanay was, you know, I have to remember, he turned 18 in December, and he might still have the Gumby ligaments.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't a high ankle. It was...
no, just a...
he just landed on the side of his foot.
And rolled bejesus out of it.
Yeah. Dang. To be young again.
All right?
Yeah.
If I did that right now, oh, God.
Florida's scary, though.
If you're picking any team in the country other than Duke, that's who I pick.
How much of this do you think is... there's an element of Maryland fans knowing that tonight is the end?
Yeah.
And they're just finding a reason to be pissed. And so they're going to be like, yeah, we can blame this. Because not us. It's not our guys.
Yeah.
It's that guy who's
going
to leave us.
And your best player is going in the NBA. He's probably going to be a top six pick.
Damn right. Man.
All right. Maryland's doing great right now, but let's check back in 3 months.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because...
what if he comes back? What if he comes back and everything's fine? Like
Willard?
Yeah.
I mean, if he comes back? I mean, I could see it.
Yeah.
Look, if you ring the bell... And you know, everybody comes in for dinner. You know what I mean? Like, it's pretty simple. If your issue's NIL and all of a sudden the bag of money appears.
Yeah. Then his leverage play.
It worked. Because that's the thing. Is like, it's not like Maryland's a joke of a school on the basketball front.
No.
This is a team that has won a title this century.
And Juan Dixon, anyone?
Steve Blake? Chris Wilcox?
I loved Juan Dixon, though.
That 2002 title team was crazy good. Crazy good.
Yeah.
And it's not like they've had a shortage of guys.
They have not.
Maryland is, when you're talking about like basketball hubs around the country, the DMV.
It's pretty good.
That's where Kevin Durant came from. That's where Jeremy Grant came from. Like that area produces some of the best hoopers in the country.
It's
a good place to be.
All right. Let's change gears a little bit, as we've got the Portland Trailblazers tonight down in Sacramento. 32-41 on the season. That's not what their record was when I left.
No.
It is not. A must win didn't go their way the other night.
Mm.
I saw the Danny Morang tweet. I got my phone out.
Mm.
A near must win.
Mm-hmm.
They lost.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at with the Portland Trailblazers? 32-41 in the season winding down. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
All right, Portland Trailblazers back in action tonight, 7 o'clock. Tip down in Sacramento, taking on the Kings. Blazers, losers of their last two of the best teams in the NBA. Not too shabby. Celtics and Cavaliers. But you called that loss, and I know you guys talked about this yesterday, the near must win for Cleveland?
Yeah, I mean, just the math. And the math is, 100% now, X plus four, going algebra. Whatever the teams in front of them win, plus four games.
Okay.
And the only way that that math changes is with the win of the Sacramento Kings. And that is because if they beat the Kings, if they get in a three-way tiebreak between the Blazers, Kings, and Suns, the Blazers would have the tiebreaker in that scenario over both teams because it's the total wins against those teams.
Right.
It's the only scenario in which they would have a tiebreaker. So if they are going to make the play-in, this is a must-win. Now, they also have to go probably, 9 games left? They probably, at bare minimum, have to go 7-2. More likely 8-1. Well, think about it. If you have to go...
They have gone 10-12.
Look, if you
have... At one point this year, they went 10-12 games.
If you have to go X plus 4...
Yeah.
Just the math says... let's say that the Mavs and the... let's take the Mavs out of this. Let's say the Suns. Mavs are bad. Let's just say the Suns and the Kings. They go... They win 4 games out of their final 10.
Okay.
If you're X plus 4, you have to win 8.
Yeah.
Not a lot of wiggle room. That's the crazy thing. They could go 9-0 and it would not matter.
Right.
There's nothing they control because the thing you have to look at this time of year, it's not the wins, not the games back, it's the loss column. And because the Blazers already are at 41 losses, the other teams have to lose.
This year has been so weird to be a fan of the Portland Trailblazers, to cover the Portland Trailblazers because of what has happened, right? We've seen so much growth in a lot of areas with a lot of players and coaches too, Chauncey Billups. But it's also like you can see what the limitations of this team have been. And I didn't think that this would fracture the fan base as much as it has. Unexpected success.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because of how good the draft is, knowing that they don't have a star and you need a star at some point. And that it's like such a weird feeling to be like, they are in a position where, sure, mathematically, it's possible that they could be in the play-in.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
It's the math right now, when I looked at it last night, they have a 2% chance of making the play-in. It's damn near non-existent. They currently have a better chance at the 10th best with the 10th best odds of getting the number one overall pick, 3% of as opposed to making the play-in.
And that is why it feels like the season, this is going to be like a, you don't want to call it a lost season because of how much growth you've seen from certain players, but from how they could potentially get that star.
Yeah.
You know, like, and that's a hard part about being a fan in the NBA is that if you don't have a star, this is what it feels like.
And the flip side of the math is like the Blazers' most likely outcome right now is to end up eighth, or with the eighth best odds.
Okay.
So right now, the Miami Heat are at 31-41, are a half game ahead, quote unquote, but they're behind with the eighth best odds in the draft lottery at 31-41. The Blazers are 32-41. So the Blazers could very easily go from 10 to 8 like that.
But they also have, I mean, when you look at the games that they have remaining, boy.
For who, Portland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got some teams that are not trying to win at all.
Well, the interesting thing about that is the only team that's really, well, actually there's two teams. There's the Jazz and the Raptors. But beyond that, Miami and San Antonio are still winning.
Yeah.
Like even though they don't have Wemby and Fox in San Antonio, they're still trying to win. If you look at Miami, Miami has to make the playoffs. They have to. Because if they don't, they will owe unprotected picks in 2027 and 2029.
You don't mean they have to win. You want them to lose.
Well, look, I would love for them to finish ninth if the Blazers finished eighth and missed the playoffs. I want the Blazers to be have the better odds. But yeah, no, it would be a real you hate to see it situation. Oh no, unprotected picks, no matter what you do, owed to two different teams over 2 years. Oh yeah, Heat culture, suck it. Yeah, no, I'd hate to see that. But the Heat are even with as bad as they had been playing, they lost what, 8 in a row. They've won 2 in a row.
Okay.
All right. And they're more likely to win down the stretch because they're playing in the Eastern Conference. Just the math of it all.
Yep.
So it was probably about 6 weeks ago I said the most likely position the Blazers were going to end up in was the eighth best odds. And the math is strongly driving it towards that.
Oh boy.
Look, if the Blazers lose tonight, and look, they could win tonight because the Kings, ugh, good God, are they bad. Sabonis is still, he's playing, but he's coming off a bad ankle injury. Malik Monk's been in and out. Zach LaVine's been out, which I don't know if they're better or worse with Zach LaVine. Not really sure. Keegan Murray went nuts the other night. He had 8 threes.
That was, that trade, the LaVine trade.
Oh, the Fox trade? Yeah. Ugh.
Ugly.
Yeah.
Just the, what you gave up and he wanted to get out.
Yeah.
And he made it clear exactly where he wanted to go. Mm-hmm. De'Aaron Fox wanted to go to San Antonio. So you were kind of dead rights. But you pull in the other guy in the league that is not as good, but also is toxic.
And, well, he's been better at least in that stuff, but he's injury prone.
Yeah.
And he has that contract. And you're just like, that's what you got, huh?
That's,
look, De'Aaron Fox isn't like one of the 10, 15 best players in the league. He's pretty stinking good, though.
It also goes to show how quickly everything can turn. Because
Kangs all over again.
Yeah, 2 years ago, it was like, this team could be an NBA title winner by 2025. And now we're looking at it going,
they're probably going to finish under 500.
They are in no man's land. And
that, when you talk about no man's land, that is purgatory. What the Kings are in right now, that is purgatory. Their books are jacked.
Yep.
Their assets are messed up. Like, that is actual purgatory. Who's the young player that you're looking at?
Right. I look at it, well, the Blazers are in the same. I mean, their books are a little bit more clean.
They're a lot more clean.
But they still don't have, they don't have a star.
There's avenues to doing that still, though. Sacramento looks very much like the Blazers did 3 years ago.
We've
without Dame.
Yeah, but we've talked about avenues for a really long time here.
Sure.
And that's what sucks.
No, I mean, that's the reality. Like, that's the whole, like when you have a player like Dame, yeah. like that's when that trade was happening. What was the first thing we said? Is the look, man, it's going to be different. Because when you don't have a top 75 player of all time
yeah.
on your roster, it's a barren wasteland. And don't be wrong, the last 6 weeks have been fun. Like, selfishly, being in the building, watching them play, like, competent basketball and watching guys grow.
Yeah.
My God. Like, I've heard people say, oh, my God, that was terrible basketball. I'm like, did you watch last year?
Last year, and then the end of the year before.
Yeah, like,
that, it was truly bad.
It was physically painful being in the building.
Yeah. This team has improved so damn much.
They're clearly better than the dregs of the NBA.
Yes, but that is a hard place to be because the dregs in the NBA, one of them is going to get Cooper Flagg.
Let's see if they don't screw it up.
Yeah, right? But they're going to get him.
Yeah. No. Look,
and you can't win a title unless you got that guy.
And getting the guy is the first step because it gives you – the perfect example is Luka Doncic. You can screw it up multiple times. If a player is good enough, you have – the wiggle room that you have is a lot wider.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, you also – we think of this and we go – like the Washington Wizards have already been down this road. They had John Wall, Bradley Beal, mm-hmm. and Otto Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Like the
top picks. John Wall was a number one overall pick.
You were sitting there like, can't win without stars. They had a star, and then they had two really damn good players to go along with them. And they look at them now.
Mm-hmm.
They're the worst team in the NBA right now.
I mean, they're stripped down to the nuts and bolts.
Mm-mm.
Not a great place to be. Coming up next, it's worst day on the web, but I'm going outside of the worst day on the web and going to the weirdest day on the web.
Yeah.
I got two different stories.
Okay.
One of them, remote viewing. The other one, the story of Merlin. I'll let you pick which path we go down.
What?
Because both of them are absolutely crazy. We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty. First, here's Big Wheel Bets with the Sports Center Update. All right. I'm going to give you a dealer's choice here. You want to go remote viewing or do you want to go Merlin?
Merlin has me just, I don't know what this means.
Okay.
What?
So I'm talking Merlin and like
the magician.
Yeah. King Arthur.
Okay.
Okay. Crazy enough, there has been a book that has been, in Cambridge. And so back in the 1600s, 1500s, they would reuse books as bindings for other books. And they didn't even know that they had this. So what they, through just sheer luck, when they were cataloging this book from the 1600s that was used as a deed holder for like land titles in the 1600s in England, they found in the bindings, or what was used to be the bindings of this book, a folded up original telling of another aspect of the Merlin tale.
Okay.
Okay, so they...
Like he was just like a hippie who did a lot of drugs?
Well, this one's actually kind of weird.
Okay.
So there's different stories that were told out of the, was it 13th century England that kind of proliferated through the Norman Empire from the British Isles into France, right?
Okay.
They found a 700-year-old parchment.
Okay.
Telling another tale of Merlin. And there's only 40 surviving copies of like... this whole tale in the entire world. And this one actually adds on to it and kind of bridges the gap from some of the other stories. And so it was folded up and stitched into the binding of this register book. And they ended up finding this through dumb luck. And they used basically the most advanced photographic tools on the face of the planet because they actually didn't like cut it open and unfold it.
Okay.
They were able to recover this using different kinds of basically spamming this book with like every spectrum of light all the way down to the nanometer, and they're able to actually like digitally reproduce every bit of it, even with ink being gone.
That's crazy.
And, I mean, it's absolutely nuts. If you
so what are we learning out of this?
The additional story of this. I'm trying to scroll back through where it was. It's incredibly long. That's what I was trying to find where it was. This actually bridges the gap to the Holy Grail story.
Oh, so we're going to find the Holy Grail.
And ties it all together.
Monty Python.
Which is really interesting that the Holy Grail popped up in all of this. So I wanted to kind of use this one to bridge into the other story because it's the Holy Grail, or it ties it all together. Through, I mean, if you dive into this article, it's on the BBC. If you just search.
So I didn't learn anything as to if Merlin was an actual magician or not with this story.
So
I think your framing has led me down a road I don't like, Danny.
Okay. He was. So in this story, he is thought to be birthed by the devil.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And in this one, he came back as a talking baby and had. Had foresight that projected King Arthur pulling the sword from the stone.
Benjamin Button.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And this
died.
This is like the confirmed telling of Merlin being a shapeshifter.
Okay. Well, they're calling this confirming it?
Look, again, of the telling of it all.
All right. But
this goes into kind of another biblical front in the sense of,
that story was not anything that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying. It was weird as could be. When the more I dove into it, I'm like, what is happening here? Like, the tellings of Merlin. Like, we're used to the Disney Sword in the Stone. The actual telling of it, very weird.
Yeah, most Disney stories are very dark. Very dark.
We got the very, very sanitized version of Merlin.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
absolutely.
It was like, whoa. Yeah, no, not old weird dude with the beard that we saw in, like, Shrek.
Yeah, or, you know, talking baby. More talking baby talk.
This leads into documents from the CIA that have been declassified. Okay. Do you know what remote viewing is?
Well, I'm assuming like where NSA can just watch what we're doing at all times.
Oh, no, you sweet summer child.
Okay.
Remote viewing is psychics.
Oh, badass.
Yeah, Ms. Cleo? Buddy. Oh, yeah. So
we got Ms. Cleo?
So remote viewing in essence is there's a sealed envelope with the thing that they're trying to ask questions about.
Yeah.
And the remote viewer.
Me, I've seen David Blaine.
Okay. The remote viewer has no idea. And so this document is from December 5th, 1988. And remote viewer number 32 was tasked with identifying a target that was unknown to them, which ended up being the Ark of the Covenant. Yes. So this is kind of the framing for remote viewing.
In 1988.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
When a remote viewer is tasked with searching for a target, the desired object is written down on a piece of paper and put into an envelope. The remote viewer does not know what is written and is guided through a process by another person. This is per U.S. Army Chief Warrant Officer Joe McMonagall.
It was called hints?
Yeah. Well, so information collected on this protocol is the only information that can be identified as remote viewing, McMonagall says. McMonagall is CIA asset remote viewer number one.
Okay.
This is like, this is an Army asset that was quite literally used. Here's the crazy thing.
That our internet can be so different because I have not seen this story ever.
The crazy thing is why McMonagall is famous.
Yeah, Professor McGonagall, Harry Potter, seen it.
He actually had a remote viewing session that did lead to the discovery, a direct discovery of a secret project by the Russians of a naval vessel in a landlocked place. He literally was able to figure this out.
Really?
That's the creepy part of this. He's
there's been a lot of creepy parts.
He's, well, I mean, but like, so remote viewing, again, if you believe in it, but look, the CIA and the black ops of the world, if you don't think that they explore every last bit of this stuff.
They're trying.
Look, man, that's where you get like MK Ultra and stuff like that, you know, like, you know, force.
Acid. I don't know what MK Ultra is.
It was a project where they were forcing.
Oh, Acid Harvard. Yeah, got it. Yeah,
there you go.
I remember now.
So remote viewer number 32.
Isn't the Unabomber part of that?
One of them was.
Yeah.
But remote viewer 32 vision described a secret Middle Eastern location of the object, which they don't know is the Ark, but say is protected by entities. The target is a container. The container has another container inside of it. And the target is fashioned of wood, gold, and silver, similar in shape to a coffin, and is decorated with seraphim. So all of like the, so what's interesting about this is like this projection of this lines up very, very, very clearly with what like the portrayal of the Ark is publicly.
Right.
And it's like somebody somewhere talked about this. For this to be like this depiction of it to be like what we see in pop culture.
Yeah.
Particularly, do you remember Ark of the Covenant? Like there was it was a big deal in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere talked. Because look, I mean, look at the image that we have. You can't, they can't see it, obviously, but like,
yeah.
Where does Indiana Jones fit in all this?
Yeah, 100%. I honestly, I think the lot, not lot, the Last Crusade, but the Raiders of the Ark, or isn't that around that time?
No, that was more early 80s.
Is it 86?
Yeah.
But
84.
Yeah, it's absolutely bonkers.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Boy, you went through it today. That is one hell of a worst day on the web.
It's just a absolutely crazy thing. So basically they're saying that this confirmed the existence of the Ark. And McMonagall is saying, no, you can't do that. Because McMonagall,
is he alive?
He's still around. He actually received the Legion of Merit for using remote viewing. And he identified a secret Russian warship that was developed in a landlocked building during the Cold War.
Just by saying...
He'd given a piece of paper with, like... Not even given a piece of paper. A piece of paper in an envelope with coordinates.
Okay. So they already had the coordinates of the building?
No, like a general area.
Okay. Of just the area?
Like a region in
Russia. And then he was like, yeah, ship. And they're like, dude, you're right. You got it.
Well, he actually like narrowed down exactly where it was.
Okay.
That's the crazy thing.
All right. So, my mind has been properly blown. I wasn't ready for this.
No, like I said, it's not the worst day on the web. It's the weirdest day on the web.
It absolutely is.
Look, man, I've got like 5-6 different places that I go to for the worst day on the web, and every now and then there's stuff in there. I'm like, okay, you've got my attention. Let me go ahead and read this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm with Deal on the fan text line. Frankly, McGonagall sounds made up. He kind of does. I mean, that's a made up name. Like, what? Who's this guy? McGonagall.
Yeah, I love the fact that like he's on this. He says currently the Ark of the Covenant is the legendary tale. If they can produce the actual Ark based on the information, it would be a surprise to me as well as to many others. Basically, it's like do what I did.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see you do it.
Go mind freak. Get Chris Angel and David Blaine on this. Let's mind freak this thing. All right.
So,
wow, that's a day on the web. That's a day on the web, buddy.
I don't really know what to do with that.
It's one of them.
So. All right, let's pivot back to some college basketball. I've got a question for you. Oh. Can Cooper Flagg do what only one other player in college basketball history has ever done? We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
When you talk about the best freshman to ever play in college basketball, there is one name and one name only. And it's not Cooper Flagg. It's not Zion Williamson. It's not...
It shouldn't be Zion Williamson.
The one-and-done era. It's not Kevin Durant. Yeah. It's not Greg Oden. It is Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, his freshman year, is one of the most insane freshman years in college basketball history. What he was able to do at Kentucky, he was the freshman player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
He was the SEC player of the year. He was SEC defensive player of the year. He was the national player of the year. He led the nation in blocks. If there was an accolade out there, Anthony Davis got it. Mm-hmm. He also won a national title.
Yes.
He is the only freshman to ever win National Player of the Year and win a national title. Now, the National Player of the Year award has not officially been given out to Naismith. There's been other like National Player of the Year awards. And Cooper's grabbing them. Cooper Flagg is going to win the Naismith.
I don't think it's going to be particularly close.
No. Jani Broome was...
Even though his team, without him in the ACC champ, like you saw how good his team is.
Yeah, I mean, Konkanipa was really good for them, which, yeah, they have two other lottery picks on their team. But they're also freshmen, which defies everything. Number one, it tells you, like, the old adage of you can't win with freshmen.
Right.
Freshmen, they're coming into college better than ever. And Kevin, there's a story on ESPN right now from Kevin Love, or interviewing Kevin Love and talking about what these young players are coming in the league now. Guys that are 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", that can do everything.
Yeah.
And Cooper Flagg is that. Cooper's going to go number one. He's going to win National Player of the Year. The only question is he going to win a national title? I mean, Duke is the favorite now, which it seems like a dumb question to ask. But can Duke do this? And can Cooper Flagg be that guy?
Yeah, he can. And it's so interesting how different we perceive freshmen now as opposed to when we did even, 25 years ago, right? Just at the tail end of the one and done. Because when you think of a guy who had a freshman year that was really on par with what Anthony Davis did, it's Carmelo Anthony at Syracuse, mm-hmm. right? Where he swept the freshman of the year awards. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't even a first-team All-American because of the way that we viewed freshmen mm-hmm. back then. Because it was always seen as the best young players in the NBA would go or in college basketball, high school basketball, you go to the NBA, you mm-hmm. don't go to college, right? So he wasn't even a first-team All-American. He was a second-team All-American. T.J. Ford was the player of the year, Melo's freshman year.
At Texas.
But Melo ended up cutting down the nets in his only college basketball mm-hmm. season, right? And I think if he would have played, now, we would view Melo in that, because that freshman year he had at Syracuse
was
absolute insanity. Mm-hmm. He was crazy. A 22-10 guy mm-hmm. for the national champs.
And
that,
not at like, I'm not trying to take this away, but like John Morant at Murray State,
right,
averaging 20-10 is not the same as doing it at Syracuse.
But back then, you did not give the freshmen the awards that, the guys who were there for 4 years, they got those awards, not the freshmen. But if you look at the way that Cooper Flagg has played, it is in line with, whether it is Anthony Davis or Carmelo Anthony, of getting, it's not just getting to a championship, but winning the championship, right? And that's a major hurdle mm-hmm. for all of the blue blood programs to get in this day and age right now because of the one and done era. You are getting those high end recruits, but you only get them for one or 2 years. It is so quick, and the mm-hmm. chemistry and the continuity is so hard to build up.
Which is why what Cal did at Kentucky with Anthony Davis was so special.
That was absolutely nuts.
Yeah, go back and look at that 2012 Kentucky team. Yeah. Holy crap.
It was really good.
So the first freshman to win that National Player of the Year, talking about Carmelo Anthony, do you know who it was?
Wait, say that again?
The first freshman.
To win what?
National Player of the Year.
No, I don't.
Just a few years later.
Oh, was it? Really?
Kevin Durant.
Interesting.
Kevin Durant. And that one was close.
Yeah. And they did not win, and also coincides with, the way that the NBA and the draft lottery coincide. He was the second year of the one and done rule. Is that right?
No, third year.
Third year?
Yeah.
Okay. So then it was like, all right, well, the best players are now freshmen. They are here. And
can't ignore them anymore. I don't think people truly remember just how good Kevin Durant was in college. I believe he averaged 27 a game.
26-11.
Yeah. I don't think people truly fathom what 27 a game is, or 26 a game is in college basketball.
No.
That's like averaging 42 a game in the NBA.
He was a freak. And that was the whole thing. The whole Oden versus Durant thing. Was it Steve Patterson who said,
We know Kevin
Durant will be a multi-time scoring champion in the NBA. We know that.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
Well, and again, much like we already had Clyde,
yep.
It was, we have Brandon and LaMarcus.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Is there enough ball to go? Well, you remember how basketball was being played back then.
Yeah.
You had your scorers, then you had your support guys.
We're not doing this. Greg Oden was the right pick.
No, he was.
At the time.
It hurts. But
so bad. It hurts so bad.
Yeah, it does.
But
Kevin Durant's still playing.
But if Duke does it as well with the injury too, you're looking at that rarefied era of most outstanding player in the NCAA tournament too for Cooper Flagg. I mean, if it does go down the way that it has been, their dominance and the way that they've just been pumping teams, mm-hmm. history will tell you too, one seeds, if they're pumping teams in the first two rounds, there's a reason why.
Yeah.
It's called the seeding in the bracket.
Yeah, well, we had Bar 2 on, and he, the all of the analytics behind Duke, like, if they, it's actually at the point where if they don't win a title, it will be a massive upset.
Oh, really?
They're the only team in the country that's top 10 in both offense and defense. They're the only team in the country that's top 20 in offense and defense, and they're number one in offensive efficiency by an order of magnitude.
Well, go Duke. Is this Duke? Are we changing our tune on Duke? Because yes. I feel...
Because K's gone.
Coach K is gone, and the cloud of pretentiousness has dissipated, I think.
It's not gone, but it's not what it was.
And I love Jay Billis. Mm-hmm. I love Jay Billis. He's kind of changed the way he talks about Duke, mm-hmm. and that makes me like Duke a little bit more. Yeah. You know, because when it was Coach K, it was almost like, no, that's my guy.
Oh, everybody falls in line.
And this is what Duke is and who we are. I kind of like what John Shire's doing.
And he got killed in the first month of the season.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they had a couple losses because they put the ball in Cooper's hands. But that was with the foresight of, let him take his lumps now. Let him take his lumps now and see what he does.
All will be better moving forward.
Look, it was a risky play, but it's paying off. Which is going to lead us into the Duke Blue Devils take on the Arizona Wildcats today. And look, there's some upset potential here. And there's a Duke killer that's on that Arizona scene. We'll dive into that next year. Now, number three on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.